outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey.
Well, here we are, finally, episode 1000. We've been talking about it for a long time.
Woohoo!
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
I'm Brad Cummings.
And I'm Kyle Rice.
Welcome back, Brad.
Thank you, sir.
Well, it's been a while since you've joined us on the
Gaudium. It has. I don't remember what number I fell off, but I'm back.
Oh, I can tell you what number you fell off. You fell off at 706.
I thought it was like in the sevens. Wow.
It was. It was in April of 2000. Oh, no, that's, excuse me. That was in the fall of 2019.
Woo.
So then Julie did some podcasts. She did 20 episodes. Julie did.
Sarah, there you go, did, Julie.
Sarah did 28 of them.
Nice going, Sarah.
And then Kyle joined us in this first time in the summer of 2019 and kind of slowly overlapped with Brad at 687.
Good job, Kyle.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know. I couldn't remember where I jumped in.
Yeah. And Kyle joins us live from?
Scotland. I am just outside of Edinburgh, Scotland at the moment.
On a tour with his wife.
Yes, we have had quite the adventure. It's actually been really good. If we would have had kids, this would have been a very different story. But if it's just my wife and I, we felt like we were on a mini version of The Amazing Race and not competing against anybody other than the Thief of Joy. And so learning to live in the present and enjoying the experience.
And you've been there 2 or 3 days and your luggage has not yet caught up to you. Is that right?
Yeah, we were supposed to fly into Edinburgh, and then we got our flights canceled, rerouted to London, and so then we drove from London up to Scotland, and my wife and I have yet to see our bag. Supposedly Jess's bag is waiting for her at the Edinburgh airport, but mine was last seen in London, at London Heathrow, and they have no idea where it is, so it is... in the ether at the moment. So
didn't put the old air tag in there, huh?
Oh, did not put the old air tag in there. And unfortunately it is a black Samsonite. So it is not very distinct in comparison to all the other bags out there. So yeah.
Grab a sheet and make it into a kilt. It'll be great.
Yes, there's nothing better than a feral ginger from Wyoming running around in a kilt. So, you know, why not?
I'd get a real one and skip the bed sheet idea.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it might be a little more scandalous. It depends on what street I'm walking on in Edinburgh.
Yeah, it probably would.
Yeah, you might not want to run on the castle ramparts.
Well, it's hard to believe we've been doing this for 1,000 episodes. My goodness.
Spreading love everywhere.
Slinging freedom all over the place.
Oh, my goodness.
All the other things we've been accused of doing.
No lightning bolts yet.
Not yet.
Maybe today.
So what are you, looking back, Brad, on your stint here for a long, oh, my gosh, we started this thing out of getting bombed from doing a radio show.
Yes.
When they figured out the show we wanted to do.
They didn't want it. No. And I didn't want to sell soap.
Yeah, so. For those of you that don't remember... Brad was asked by a radio station to do a drive time radio show.
They're going to give me Duffy's spot till they realize that might not be a great idea.
And then Brad said, well, I'll do it if Wayne will do it with me. So he asked me, would you be interested? And I thought, hey, it'd be fun.
Yeah, I didn't want to be a single voice. I thought that'd be a dumb show.
Yeah. And then when they found out the show we wanted to do, partly because they wanted us to go to normal congregations and whoop up the radio station.
Yeah, we were a little outside, two renegade guys.
Yeah, we knew that wouldn't work. So looking back, what are some of your favorite themes from God Journey episodes of yore?
I got to tell you, you forever like ruined and shaped my life. In a great way, because you put theology through a relational lens. Huh. And I just got to tell you, it's like that fits so well. It's like, I love theological stuff, but you always centered it through a relational lens. I went, you know, that's far better than what I had before.
Hmm.
So I really appreciated that.
Oh my gosh. I appreciated the times we had so much and the laughs, laughs we had to stop recording because, which I wish we hadn't now looking back. I wish we just let it roll.
Yes. There was in Jordan, the one take wonder with my hat.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
We had some good times. And Kyle, when did you start listening to this podcast? Do you remember?
Oh, and I started listening to the podcast. It would have been the spring of 2011. That's when I first got handed "So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore" while I was failing as a megachurch pastoral intern. And my
how wonderful.
It's great. And as you said as well, Brad, when Wayne and I met, he very much put words to what was going on in my heart, and it was through a very relational lens. And I was trying to figure out why me running on a hamster wheel of religious performance was not working out very well, and why I was not rising to the top of the charts in this mega church that I had set out to do in a very unhealthy way. And thankfully God disrupted that in a really big way and happened to connect us through, well, my supervisor. So I was doing my master's degree in marriage and family therapy at the time. And I told my supervisor what was going on and how much I was struggling. And she handed me, "So You Don't want to go to church anymore." I was like, well, this will be interesting. And I read the book and was like, okay, this is exactly what my heart is trying to say and what I'm struggling with. But now what do I do? Because I just left a really good job in Spain and moved out to Los Angeles and am watching my entire internship fall apart because of these heart things that are going on. And so, yeah, it was very disruptive and yet completely wonderful. And of course, we met over barbecue, Wayne and I. Of course. So that was wonderful.
Do you meet anyone else any other way?
I do.
You do? I do. I don't believe
that. I do. Well, I can't help it. This is just, you know, what do they say? Correlation without causation. I think that's what we're
talking about. Oh, sure. No.
It's a small sample size.
You're a beef lover. I know that.
Oh, yeah, I'll admit to that.
Hey, Kyle, did Wayne give you like one of them squirrel suits when he helped you get pushed off the ledge?
No, he did not. He gave me no safety net at all.
Oh, that's unfair, Wayne.
Wait, please, would you? He said he was having trouble before he read the book. let's be clear here.
Well, you met me just before I got pushed.
I knew you were going to get pushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were asking the wrong questions.
Yes.
To survive in the environment in which you found yourself.
I remember at Bandits, I had talked to you about, you know, that word that I was given, woe to the worthless shepherds. And you said, well, what's the right answer? And I sat there going like, squirrel? Jeez, Jesus. I had no idea. I figured if the black hats were messing it up, we should wear white hats. And you told me that wasn't the right answer.
No, it wasn't. I wish it were. Yeah. I've got some people now I'm dealing with the same way. They come out of something that's been kind of hurtful and they want to create something else that's not going to be hurtful.
We'll just be better guys.
Yeah, well, same thing, but with white hats in charge.
Yes.
And I always say, don't you think those other people start with white hats?
I hadn't thought that through.
The more you drive that thing, the more your hat gets a little darker till you end up with a black hat.
Yeah, I lost my hat on the way down.
Because managing people is just a very painful way to live. A kingdom in which Jesus would prefer to do it.
I loved how patient you were with my wrong answers.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not often accused of patience. So
no, you're not. And I know you well enough to know that was supernaturally placed there.
I don't even get credit for it.
No, but it.
Wow.
As you lean into the life of Jesus, his fruit does shine forth.
Yeah.
But I remember it's like you asked all the provocative questions for which none of my religiously trained answers fit. And I was just going like, okay, what do I do now?
It's all in the wording of the questions. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. But it's like when you said, I, the Lord, will come and shepherd my flock myself. I went, okay, why did I not see that? It's like, I think we're trained to not see that.
I think we are. You're right.
And now I end up going like, okay, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. I just went to seminary, got my contractor's license, was all ready to go and just going like, okay, so I guess we're doing the vain labor thing.
We even taught that verse while we were doing the very thing it was telling us not to do.
What's wrong with this equation?
That's so strange. Yeah. Like you say, we're conditioned to avoid the most immediate application of the verse.
Yeah, I think what I have loved and even just watching you in low these many years is I think you've leaned into even more of recognizing that it is the shepherd that actually walks us through everything that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And you're just going like, wow. I mean, I just, the last couple of years, Wayne, you've gotten even sweeter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, you have. Cool. Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like love happens better out of this man. And it's been a joy to be your friend, to walk through it, and to feel those moments where we weren't loving as closely as we might, but the friendship has remained.
It has.
And I'm just going like, wow, with what you've had to face, and I'm going like, the Lord squeezed you harder and you got sweeter.
And I'm sure people are asking, what is Brad Cummings up to these days? Because we've not heard from you in a while.
Getting squeezed.
Getting squeezed still.
Back in the shack, we're turning it into a TV series.
Are you?
Yeah.
I haven't signed off on this yet.
Well, you kind of said you don't mind what I do. And I just go like, now we're sort of having to suffer through folks that don't quite get it again. And I'm just going like, wow, Lord, do I have to do another lap around this mountain?
I didn't think you were going down that road again. Last I talked to you.
Well, I think we found some good people in the mix. It's like,
okay,
they're better than the first go around, but it's still, I feel like a lot of the stuff that I wrestled with, it's like God has kind of peeled back some filters. And I see some things that we put in the shack that I'm going like, wow, they're even more glorious today.
Good.
And I'm hoping that we can, with a little more time, as opposed to the time crunch in a movie, I think they're willing to give us multiple seasons if we do the first one well.
Oh, wow.
So I'm kind of curious where all that's going to go. It just sort of feels like God is slowly bringing people together, but I'm going like, okay, I guess I have to love them better.
Yeah, I guess you do.
We're back to that.
Time to learn patience again.
I think I've learned that. It's more just loving people that are kind of like taking their own agenda.
That work hard to be unlovable.
I don't know if they try, but they do succeed.
I think some try. Yeah, no problem.
You think some try?
And you've become a grandpa.
I'm a grandpa. I have four little Rugrat grandchildren that are learning, doing swim lessons. And it's been an absolute blast.
That's great.
They just live 2 minutes away. So that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
We didn't think we'd have that. They started on the East Coast. Mm. They've ended up two minutes away.
And you never found Chipper?
No, we never found Chipper. We have been through many cats between Chipper and now. We
have to go way back to find out where Chipper vanished one night and afraid a coyote got him.
I think it was coyote meat.
Yeah.
But my kids have survived that.
Okay.
We lost our big St. Bernard. That was sad.
Yeah, it was sad. It was horrible.
I was like, that's my big slobbery friend.
Mm-hmm. Didn't replace him though.
No, I think Kelly's enjoyed having the freedom of non-super dependent cats. You know, we're empty nesters. And so we're having fun traveling and enjoying stuff. Kind of like what Kyle's doing in Scotland.
Ah, cool.
I'm intrigued, Brad, about what does it look like for a shack TV series? Like how do you see or envision opening up that story even more, especially in a multiple season type scenario?
Well, I think that we never in the actual book explored how Papa would interact with the rest of the family and kind of help them along. It's like they were kind of flat characters. They were there, but we didn't really delve into, gosh, the whole dynamics.
Well, we weren't trying to write Les Miserables at 1,400 pages.
Oh, that's it?
I just think the whole bit of Mac's change, we've yet to see what life looks like after that change.
Ooh.
So I'm kind of curious. You know, I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but I love the whole bit of Papa loving us without an agenda. Mm. And it's sort of like, what does it look like for that to really take root when you just kind of like, Lord, where would you lead me and guide me? And then how do I respond like that? Mm. And so I think that's where I'm trying to work with the showrunner to deepen his own walk. Because I think it's hard to write about what you don't know. And so
is the showrunner doing the writing?
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't let us run with it because neither Gil nor I have been the showrunner on a TV series. And I'm going like, well, it's not that different of an animal. It's still the same story. It's just you have a little more time. It's like a good bottle of wine. You have more time to let it breathe. Because I sort of felt like the biggest challenge of doing The Shack as a movie is they cherry picked all the lines, but they didn't have a lot of the connective tissue that made those lines mean something.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that was a real challenge. We had to go through like 60 drafts of that to get to it where it finally wasn't Shack light and felt cheap.
Gosh, yeah, so, I remember it well.
Yes, you were the repository of my venting.
Yes, I also read a number of those scripts.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brad.
So we'll see where it goes. I mean, it's like, I think that the challenge is you're having to deal with a whole bunch of execs, and it's like you're having to sell them on the idea as opposed to saying, hey, would you just trust us and let the story emerge? It's more like a lot of people that are just looking for audience share and how do we grab them real quick. So this is monster IP that they love to possess. And you're going like, Gollum has never been one of my friends.
Gollum.
Yeah.
My precious.
Yeah.
Oh, I must have more.
So we'll see where it goes.
How would you envision, especially, so the Shack has been a while ago when it was initially written. And so I'm intrigued to see how the Shack story would morph given the experience of God's love that especially the two of you have navigated over the last decade plus. That would be really intriguing just to see where that would land. Cause I remember it would have been my junior year of college. My roommate was reading The Shack and
oh, heresy.
He was like, I was like, what is that book?
Feel old.
and he was like, well, I think it's the book that's going to really mess with everybody that we know. Cause he and I grew up together and we grew up in a very conservative Baptist background. And he was a missionary kid and he was reading this book. And he's like, yeah, this is going to really, really mess with some of our audience and some of the people that we grew up with. And that I didn't even read it at that time. I didn't even circle back to it until a few years later. And so, man,
oh wow!
Especially knowing the journey that the two of you, well, I know a little bit about your journey, Brad, but very much about Wayne's, I'd be really intrigued to see how that would inform, especially life after where the Shack left off. That's really intriguing to me.
Well, I have to imagine that Mac was just finding his feet in a brave new world.
Yes.
And it's like, how do you end up pursuing God? I think because much of what we're taught is the super intentionality on our side, which is, I think, at odds with what we're both experiencing and the fact that despite our intentionality, God has a different way of transforming us. And so I sort of think I would never label him the grand frustrator, but I think when he knows our heart is really to be touched by him, he does frustrate a lot of our plans and ideas because he has a different pathway of our transformation. And I don't think that's ever, I mean, it doesn't fit their tick boxes for the hero story. Yep. And so a lot of this honestly is like bringing them an aardvark. They go like, I don't know what to feed it. And, yep. And they don't know what to do with it. And I'm just going like, yeah, but
I think. So they treat it like a puppy.
Yeah, they kind of do. And that's a little frustrating. But I think that most people have not encountered God like in the context of a walking, talking friendship. And I think if you start to display some of that and you get past the religious tripe of it all, I think that could be really profound. Because yeah. I think it midwives conversations for a lot of people that they long to have but haven't had. And so if we can get there, that could be fun.
Yeah, I like the transformational aspect, becoming less intentional and more intuitive. If the idea of Jesus writing his law in our hearts, then there's ways that we live, not because we've learned the rules and following a new Testament principle or whatever. It's because he's taken captive our heart. And that love lives out in a way that we don't necessarily are intentional about, but it just comes out because we care about people and we love. And that will lead us down roads that trying to achieve our own goals for ministry or wherever else will never take us down.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I find that God has changed things in me, and I really am sort of reverse engineering the mystery of how'd you make me respond different now?
Yeah, you notice after the fact.
I didn't know that we were I didn't feel like surgery. It didn't feel like open heart, whatever. I just sort of felt like, wow, I'm different. Why?
But that's not to say you didn't go through painful stuff or me. I've been through tons of painful stuff. We just didn't realize that was the surgery.
Oh, my gosh.
That was mostly stuff I was rebuking and praying for healing from.
But I think there's even something as wonderful as the ladybug on the cover. Mm-hmm. It's like I knew it was always a symbol, but we never did anything with it to kind of explain why. And when you look at the whole history of what's in, why they're even called that, it's like it's the most fragile thing. And somehow it has the power to overcome evil. After it gets munched by evil, it puts poison
inside. Okay. Work with this analogy just a little more, Brad, before you put it online.
But I'm kind of fascinated. Like, how can we demonstrate that love is in its fragility more powerful than evil? I'm going like, I haven't seen that demonstrated.
Hmm.
And so the Multnomah princess and that ladybug, I think, are keys to us taking this into a deeper space of going like, wow, God's kingdom is different than the way we would do it.
Cool.
So we'll see. We may not get there, but we're going to try.
Well, we did ask people to kind of send us some brief observations as to what the God journey meant for them. I've got 12 pages here lined out in front of me that we're not going to read, obviously. But I want to thank everybody. Deeply touching emails. We're going to read some clips of them because I think it'll give us opportunity to talk about some things together. But man, the impact that this has had over the 21 years we've been doing this is just amazing to me. And
yeah.
Just reading these things and seeing that people got out of the podcast what we were hoping they would, which isn't making Brad, Wayne, Kyle icons to follow.
Nope.
But actually connect with Jesus in a way that makes sense. This from Nikolai in the Netherlands. It was very nice to listen to a podcast that gave me insight and words as to why I was actually so reluctant about how the church often does things. But it was the same podcast in the book He Loves Me that made me realize that being loved and trusting Father, that implies that I don't have to convince others that I'm right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a mature place.
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations about that. Because that's the agenda, right? I know best for you. You'll just follow me. We'll get you there.
Yeah.
Instead of, no, why don't you listen to Jesus and follow those nudges on your heart? Mm-hmm. This from Jenny in the UK. You're near there, Kyle. You and Brad, then you and Kyle provided a companion with whom to chew over ideas and thoughts, a relaxed sharing of your thoughts and experiences to ponder on my own God journey. I really appreciate how you enabled this through stepping well away from any sort of encouragement to follow Wayne, Brad, Kyle. The God journey enriches my thought life, encourages me regularly in my journey with God. My life is incredibly horrific right now, and I still have much pain between God and me, but I always look forward to listening to the God journey.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting how God doesn't absent himself from our pain.
Nope.
And how he kind of climbs in and he's not trying to explain it. He's not giving us the formulas. He's not saying, oh, because this, that, and that other. It's kind of like he sits there with us.
Yeah, but we're sure taught to pray against those things and get them healed and pushed away.
And rebuke them.
Why is God allowing this to happen to me? And oh my gosh, the roads I went down before becoming comfortable with being with God inside my pain or inside my fear or inside my doubt or inside whatever, to invite God inside those things was so much better than keeping him on the outside and screaming at him to fix it.
And they don't offer those in seminars.
Oh, I do, but nobody comes.
Well, I miss the invites, but I've watched them.
Yeah, I know you have.
Yeah, that's great.
I really appreciated that comment just because even just recently, Jess and I, this adventure that she and I went on, I mean, we talked about untangling even just a couple of weeks ago, untangling what is spiritual warfare? Where is God at in the midst of this? How do we navigate? Is this God? Is this God frustrating the situation? Is this just we live in a fallen world? Is the enemy actively involved here? What's going on? And that, man, this, even just in this last week, watching Jess and I's hearts as a couple navigate this and say, okay, Lord, we planned this vacation, we've had this opportunity, and then literally everything felt opposed to us getting here. I mean, it was an absolute mess from old stronghold stuff from my family system getting activated to flights getting canceled. I mean, the whole nine yards. And yet, in the midst of that, there was so much beauty that came up out of it. And even more importantly, there was rest in the midst of the chaos. It was like, okay, Lord, like whatever is going on here, we can just enjoy the adventure. We can move into, especially your comment, Wayne, when we were talking last week or two podcasts ago about being in the moment and finding rest, love, and play in the moment. And this, I mean, this entire experience in the UK has been, God, what is your rest, love, and play in this moment? Because right now, everything is indicating that we should be canceling the trip and going home. And so, and yet we, Jess and I were just debriefing at dinner tonight, and Jess asked me, how would you introduce this trip, or how would you describe this trip to someone? And the comment that came up in my heart was, God realigned Jess and I with our familiarity on how to do adventure together. And that, I mean, Jess and I have been through a lot of things over the last few years, as far as like family and medical stuff and that kind of thing. And to realign in the joy of adventure together in this space was absolutely incredible. And yet the beauty of it is that it centers on, we're walking through this life with an incredibly passionate and relational God that is in the midst of it all with us. Man, that is the beauty of it, is that there is no pause in it. There's no pause in the relational invitation that he offers each of us, no matter where we're at or what we're going through.
Yeah, you wanted a trip with your wife, and you guys have been together through it
all. We have. Yeah. It was not
necessarily doing the things you wanted to do.
Without luggage.
So, I mean, buddy.
That's great.
Even the beauty of that, of the creative problem solving and us figuring it out how to do it together and traveling minimally. I mean, it's been like, gosh, it's been good. And yet I was journaling before I left on the trip, and I said, Lord, what do you want to speak to my heart about in the midst of all of this? And I was thinking beauty, I need major heart rest, etc. And instead it was high speed adventure chaos. And yet a lot of joy in the midst of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, the one book I don't have is A Systematic Theology of Adventure.
You should write it.
I don't want to. Wrong premise.
It's kind of an oxymoronic title, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Yeah. This is from Jack in South Carolina. Oh, how I love those conversations early on. It was like you and Brad were discovering and learning how to live in love without religious overtones and obligations. Your slinging freedom in conversations often became fits of laughter in which I, like many, I suppose, love to hear and join in. I'm so grateful for the God journey and all that you, Brad, and Kyle have done to keep it alive and going. You cannot imagine the impact of joy and understanding you all have had on my life. Looking back at your first podcast titled The Adventure of a Lifetime, that title could not have been more appropriate.
Wow. Yeah, it's coming full circle.
Even for Kyle and Jess this week, The Adventure of a Lifetime.
Who knew? Well, you can't program an adventure. You can go on one, or you can refuse to.
Well, you can go on one with a guide and pay everything to have all looked up for you, but it's less than an adventure.
It feels like a program, not an adventure.
For sure. But some people like that. Adventure does not fuel their...
You know, I think one of the biggest challenges is how you relinquish control of your Christianity. And you allow Jesus to actually become the shepherd and to show you where to eat. You're just going like, okay, he has so rearranged the deck chairs on my boat in the last few years.
He just seems to do it at night just for the fun of it.
That's true.
Let's see how much I can confuse Wayne tomorrow. This will be fun.
Nice.
And this from Charlie in Pennsylvania. I like the little analogy he draws. The impact of the God journey to me is like the difference between a movie and a TV show. In a movie, details, character development, and timing is so abbreviated, it's difficult to bring in the humanity of an individual or a story. A TV show, on the other hand, is able to include the mundane, the down moments, and let us truly get a glimpse into the ordinary life of the characters the movie format doesn't dig deep enough into. The God journey has been the TV show perspective that I and countless others have needed to see glimpses of the journey regularly unveiled. not just the highlights or catchy phrases. This way of sharing has brought us to the person of Jesus, rarely brought out in the gentle but funny ribbing you give each other, more quiet but insightful world event commentary, and the real intimate events of your lives that make listening so relatable. Because of this, the God journey has been a star in the heavens, consistently there through life seasons, giving light, food for thought, and a gentle reminder of Jesus' direction and presence in the world. It boggles my mind to think back as my time with you started mid-college, 2008, has now spanned first jobs, engagement, marriage, four kids. The God journey has been a needed, gentle whisper of life and God through it all.
Sounds like the Truman Show.
Wow, I hadn't thought of it that way.
It's the Grand Truman Show. Wow.
It's definitely covered everything.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's some people have asked me, I'm going to write my memoirs. And I always say, I don't know.
I already recorded them.
But man, this God journey has been that. Every pain, joy,
yeah,
disappointment, lawsuit, all of it's been part of this podcast. even Sarah's departure and trauma, yeah, and healing, and it's just all been part. And yeah, I look back at incredible gratefulness last 21 years at what God continues to do in my life in spite of me. And you guys being along for that, for significant moments of that, it's been the joy of my life.
Well, I think I know you always prepared. I hardly ever did because I really enjoyed having the actual conversation.
And I didn't.
I think you did too. I think you would sometimes look at me like, you never bring anything.
Spontaneity. Well, Kyle does the same thing.
good on you, Kyle.
I don't actually bring stuff. I just, letters, things from people.
You know, but I think it was always, I've so appreciated the genuineness of the conversation as opposed to, you know, two people trying to, you know, catch the other's breath and then jump in and say something to try to teach people. It's been more a real conversation. And I just think, people learn better in that context, if that was a fruit, but it's more just processing of what it is to follow Jesus.
But we did try to shock each other now and then. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I could always count on that from
surprise
you.
Surprise each other with a snorkel or, you know, whatever came up.
Oh, you're bad. Do people know what the snorkel is?
No.
I do.
And it shall not be named.
Okay, it shall not be named.
Okay, this is from Lyndon in South Australia. We've got stuff from all over the place. I can't tell you how incredibly therapeutic it was to listen to voices that talked about a reality of God that aligned with everything I was feeling on the inside. The banter, the honesty, the humor, the listener engagements all centered in this area of relaxing to a reality of living loved. I had never heard God talked about so relationally like this from people outside the religious box with no monetary agenda. Yeah, that's the other thing I'm thankful for. I haven't paid you guys a dime to go on this thing. And I didn't make a dime either. We've just done this for the love of it and have loved it. The dialogue was so refreshing to me, and it helped to reshape and challenge so many preconceived ideas that I just accepted about God's character. It didn't matter the subject material. What stood out was the presumption in the conversation that God is always present, loving, and looking to engage with us. It is always done in such a manner to never subvert or replace God, but to direct us back to Him. So thank you, Wayne, Sarah, Brad, Kyle. Thanks for the willingness to be open, transparent, to share honestly your journeys, to be vulnerable and just plain real. Today I will listen in. It continues to be a rich, fertile input into my journey, with thoughts and insights that give language and perspective to my ongoing discovery of God.
Wow. That's pretty darn cool.
I think it's
I like that.
Especially the idea of relaxing into it. I think, oh man, especially there's been very large chunks of my life where relaxing would not be the term I would use, more along the lines of white knuckling or trying to manipulate or controlling or domineering versus being able to relax.
Such nice verbs.
Yes, wonderful.
Wow. Verbs of ministry. Wow. That'd be a nice little meme.
Okay. Write that up.
Okay, I will. it's rather bizarre. I think when you programmatic ministry or you put a target on it, it becomes like utterly elusive because your efforts to control to make it happen, where you're like, I don't think that's how God works. I'm finally relaxing into that, going like, I'm not, it's like, do I have goals? Do I have desires? Yeah. But I sort of feel like I'm not even going to write them down.
Yeah. I give up that a long time ago. It's just going to see how life unfolds, how the day unfolds, where the nudge of the Spirit is, where he's inviting you to follow, and just go there with him and see what happens.
That's the squirrel adventure, diving off the cliff.
Yeah. I don't know what the squirrel is. Is that the flight suit?
Yeah, That's the flight suit.
So
have you
done this?
I have not. I have watched several do this, and I marvel. I go like, wow. I mean, I felt like that's what maybe a decade of my life was sort of, God nudged me off the cliff, and it was sort of like, I remember the day you sent me one of those little videos. Does your God journey feel like this? And it was a dude jumping off a cliff on one of those squirrel suits. I responded back, said, yes.
I do not remember that. I didn't get a squirrel suit when I jumped either, or got shoved.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have jumped. So I actually now can look back and go like, okay, maybe they meant it for evil. But wow, God did use it for good, because I'm pretty sure I don't think I would have gone there without the shove.
Yeah, I think that's so true about so much in our life, that which is why all the New Testament writers say, hey, count it all joy when you go through these suffering times, because it really opens you to stuff that you think you had all your ducks in a row, and then it kind of shows that God's not in the box you put him in. And
yeah.
Now you've got to figure out, do I want to go with this God? Or to want to try to cram myself back in this little box so I feel secure.
I think somebody stomped on my box, but I used to think James was a crack smoker. I'm going like, why would I count it all joy to go through what you just listed off? It's like, no.
No?
I thought that.
Martin Luther just threw the book out. for other reasons.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, he had his opinion was showing. There you go.
He did.
Scotland boy.
Scotland boy. Oh,
I saw you. You were pondering a thought.
Well, he's jet lagged.
Very much so. No, I think it's hilarious because I'm sitting in the country where the mystic Celts called their pursuit of God chasing the wild goose. Because, that so much feels like that you're pursuing this wild, untamed, and uncontrollable, claustrophobic God that also loves being in your presence at the same time. But man, he loves busting out of boxes.
Do you know where that phrase came from?
I don't. What is the origin of it, Brad?
I remember someone taught me this. It's like when they were on a ship in the fog and they couldn't see anything. They can't navigate by the stars. Mm. In the midst of the fog, they would toss a wild goose off the front of the ship because they knew it would just go towards the nearest land. Mm-hmm. So that's where the phrase originally was, chasing wild goose chase. I'm just going like, what if he flew too fast and you couldn't get him? You lost him in the fog. I think the God journey sometimes is like that. I'm going like, where'd you go, Jesus?
Yeah, when they translated my book into German, the So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore book,
yeah,
they called it The Call of the Wild Goose.
Oh, nice. Mm.
That's the title of it in German. I was like, when he sent me the idea, I said, no, you can't do this. Wild goose chasing in America is not a good thing. It's just pursuing nothing. And he said, oh, no. They told me the story of the wild geese and said, wow. It's a symbol, Celtic symbol for the Holy Spirit. And so that's the title of it in German.
There you go.
Might've been a better title in English. Who knows?
I thought it was a dove, not a goose, but hey, the Holy Goose.
The Holy Goose. There you go.
Some people will misapply that. I know they will.
This is somebody, Lisa from Ohio wrote, the God journey has been my church, my community. I have not found lots of people so far who are encouraging and living free. The feral faithful, she calls them.
Oh.
I don't get to technically interact with you guys in a relational context, though you've been gracious and faithful to address my struggles when I shared them with you, Wayne. I've been lonely at times, but honestly, the God journey has been a place of great encouragement for her. Cool. And I get that from a lot of these letters where people just don't have other folks. Yeah. And that's when we first started talking about this thing. If we had the kind of conversations that relational people could have about Jesus, then that would spur other people to find those conversations in their life.
Yeah.
And I, judging by your letters, that's happened a lot.
You know, I spent this last week up in Canada with another friend. We're writing out a TV series. And his parents were some of the original God Journey listeners.
Hmm.
So we FaceTime with them. That was sort of fun. Hmm. I'm going like, oh, my gosh, I'm here with their son. And they were originally followers of you, Wayne, and then they were there when we started the God Journey. It was kind of neat to just get that as a little feedback before coming back here.
I don't have followers or fans.
You did. They confessed.
I hear you, but I always, yeah, that's always one of the things I hate about social media stuff, the terms they use to call. We're to follow Jesus and have friends. We don't need to have, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, but I think we all need some kind of Jesus with some skin on. Mm-hmm. And I think when sadly the institution always has a hierarchical demand on that or something different programmatically, I think to have some people that you can listen to that are just sorting this out loud and processing it. I don't think you get a lot of sermons like that.
No, I don't. It's much more helpful, I think, to learn the life of Jesus in a conversation than a lecture.
Yeah.
Somebody's preaching at you. You write down a bunch of principles and then you can go try and live those principles in your own effort, but you're still left with you instead of, no, how do I find this voice inside me, this nudge, this thought inside my thoughts that helped me think thoughts that Jesus is thinking instead of just being left with my own.
Well, in the early days of the Vineyard, Wimber would always say, these things are more caught than taught. And I'm going like, that's so true. But then all we did was seminars. And I'm going like, where's the catching?
It's got to be in conversations, right? That's where you catch stuff.
Yeah.
Lecture.
It's in the processing of it.
Yeah, because you get the, you know, six principles of this or the, you know, some five things that spell some kind of freaky word so people remember it. But it doesn't get to life. It doesn't change what's inside. I find a conversation and thinking it through and asking questions and exploring it is so important to this journey, which is exactly how Jesus did it with the disciples. He didn't sit them down for lectures. He actually engaged them in conversations and let them ask their silly questions and answered them in ways that invited them to something deeper.
And our formulas give us, I think, false expectations. You know, it's like we're not promised a pain-free existence. We're not promised that you won't have people that betray you.
No.
I think, yeah, I know, it's a shocker. So your eyes just, wow, big. He's going, oh, really?
Jesus had a share of that.
No, I know, but I think those are some of the hardest things to work your way through. There aren't any principles. It's like, I don't know how you get past that other than God climbs in and says, here, I'll walk you through this. And that's not a principle thing. That's like, I just lost you. It's like, where's the goose? You
know? Find me a goose, throw it off the front of the ship, and
we'll go, baby.
I think I love the way that you have modeled that, though, Wayne. Like, I can't imagine what it would have been like if I would have found the God Journey back when I was in high school, which would have been when you guys first started it.
Oh, yeah, you're showing off.
Having those, I mean, honestly, like, there was literally nobody in my world that was having those types of conversations. It was very much about adhering to religious performance, and there wasn't a whole lot of relationship, and there was a whole lot of obligation, and there was a whole lot of performance. And yet, like, I think one of my favorite ways that I've seen you model this, Wayne, was when you came out and visited after the movie The Shack came out, and you were sitting with my college students on the ride to the movie, the showing of The Shack, and you were just chatting with them and yucking it up with them, and they had no idea who you were. They just thought you were some random person that was hopping a ride to the movie.
Some old guy in the van.
So then this guy's awful old for college.
And we get there.
Like, was he hitchhiking?
He was. I mean, thankfully he wasn't dressed in a kilt or a skirt or anything like that, so he wasn't too scandalous and wasn't too awkward, so he was okay. But no, and then we get done with the movie, and he gets up and shares and starts answering questions, etc. And then we get back in the van, and the students were like, you're the guy that we came here to see. We've been hanging out with you the whole time. And it was like just watching the shift in their perspective and just seeing the relational dynamic that was there. There was no presumption. There was no celebrity culture at all. It was, I just want to be able to have conversations with these young people that I may never have gotten to encounter before.
Yeah. And if they'd have known first, that wouldn't have happened. And then they figured it out later. It didn't change it. Going back, it was the same, just fun being with them and get to know them as people. Anything else, guys? Kind of at the end of this one, unless we want to go overtime for three or four shows.
I forgot when the stopping point was.
Right about now.
Okay.
Anything you want to add?
I just want to say thank you for the friendship, lo these many years.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, there's...
It's been its own reward, for sure.
Yeah, but to be able to go through the good times and the bad and even the hard times, yeah. Where it's like, I still don't understand how it got sideways for a little season. Mm. I do, but I don't. And I'm just going like, I'm glad that somehow there's a deeper value that's never made me want to not cherish the friendship.
Yeah, me too. And to let each other have our journeys. That's how we start out, you know, not trying to control each other, not trying to make something, not trying to make it work the way we want, but
so, freedom. Thank you. And Kyle, thank you for taking care of him.
Yeah, it's about time for me to step off the show and let you and Kyle step off.
Oh, man. It's been such a joy. I mean, just the opportunity to be a part of the conversations. And I think that's been a big part of the beauty of this is that there hasn't been a agenda or you have to adhere to something. It's just the ability to authentically live out a journey. And it sounds like it's had, as I've been able to read through some of the letters and comments that people have shared, just the beauty of how the risk of being open or transparent or just inviting other people in to get a snapshot of how God moves in the world. Like that, it's just a privilege to be a part of that and a joy to be able to be in this type of relationship and be able to see it just continue to grow without reservation or without boundary. Because I mean, man, just the stuff that even just in the last 3 years that we've been able to navigate in our friendship and seeing how God has moved in that and the different lessons and the different expressions of his love that have come out of that. I think it's gone for as long as it has, and we've reached 1,000 episodes is because it's had the flexibility and freedom to be able to morph and grow and adapt given different life experiences or situations. And that's incredible. Oh, there are no words. So it's been incredible.
It's been a joy for me, for both you guys, for different stretches of this podcast, and the friendship we have behind the scenes is meaningful to me deeply. Mm-hmm. What we'll do is with all these letters we've got, I'm going to post them up on my blog at some point when I get a chance to. And I've just notified today, I'm one of the top, lifestream.org is one of the top 15 blogs in California, Christian blogs.
No way.
Didn't tell me what criteria they said. I was below John MacArthur though. So I don't know what a successful thing that is, but, and he's dead. So I don't know how that works. We're going to post these letters up on the blog, but anyway. So we're going to post them up there so people can read through them if you want to. It's a lot of reading. I'll warn you. It's almost a book.
But they're great.
They're fun to read, and it's wonderful that people took the time to make that expression. I'm really grateful to know both of you and grateful to have the friendship and grateful that we've been able to do this for so long and been helpful, continue to be helpful to people.
There's another 1,000 more. Yeah.
I haven't got 1,000 more in me. I tell
you might. You don't know.
It will take a miracle.
Yeah, well, that's fine. God's in that business.
The odds are definitely against it.
And that's okay.
And how long the brain holds together, that's another thing.
Oh, has that been a requirement?
Always.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.